The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and then 16 to 23. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he who catches the wise in their craftiness again and again. The Lord knows that these thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Glory to God. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's strange how a Bible reading suddenly becomes very topical. So we didn't know that, of course, when we set that reading for today. But I think Jesus' parable has been quite graphically illustrated in recent days by the flooding in the North Island. We also now, and they even more, know about the waters rising, about unstable land, about strong winds. It clearly matters where a house is built. Yes, in the case of Cyclone Gabriel, some apparently safe locations were affected. After all, this cyclone was stronger than normal storms and one of the most destructive that New Zealand has experienced. But through it, people learned again that building just above or below cliff faces or on floodplains has its consequences. they also learned how important it is to live on the free-draining elevated property and not in the path of significant water or mud flows. Well, here in Christchurch, of course, many also know how important it is to build on the right ground. While here the destruction was not caused so much by rain and wind, but by earthquakes, those who built their house upon the sand had to deal with liquefaction. Well, I still remember long before the earthquakes, well, sort of long, my certain physics lecture many years ago, when we discussed the physics of liquefaction. And there the lecturer concluded that the parable about building your house on the rock was spot on here too. So she gave full marks to that advice. Of course, Jesus did not just want to give some good advice for choosing where to build and live. Rather, he used common wisdom, which nevertheless was too often disregarded, to make a point about the foundations that we build our own lives on. What gives us meaning? What is the basis of our actions? If we hear Jesus' words and follow them, implement them in our lives, then we will be like someone who built their house on the rock. Just as well-placed houses can withstand the storms, so someone who implements Jesus' words in their life can withstand the many challenges that life throws at them. In contrast, those who hear Jesus' words but then disregard them and do not implement them in their lives, they will be like someone who built their house on sand. They are more likely to struggle in the challenges of life. Well, the parable is not just about emotional resilience, but also, I think, about the eternal worth and value of our lives, whether we contribute towards God's purposes or go against them. It's not just about our own life project, so to say, but rather how we affect the lives of others and are part of God's kingdom. And I think that's partly expressed also in our letter in the 1 Corinthians. Now, between the readings, you notice that Richard left a few verses out, and that's what the lectionary says. But there are actually some verses in there which are quite meaningful, though even more complicated than what comes after. So, in those verses, Paul describes how we may build our lives. He describes a judgment for the lives that we've built. Will they stand the test? Well, that may not be a very comforting metaphor. After all, if we compare our lives to a building, we would be only too aware of some weaknesses in the structure. At times, some shoddy building work has gone in our lives, and design changes may have left the overall project a bit wonky. And yet, both in 1 Corinthians and Matthew, we are reminded that the most important aspect of building is the ground we build on, the foundation. And if our lives are built on Jesus Christ, if he is the foundation of our lives, then that life project indeed has firm foundations. That's a comforting, even hopeful picture. For if our life, like the construction of our wee house, is judged, then it is valued by God. Then the building, despite its shonky parts, is something good before God. Our life does not dissolve as our importance in our society dissolves, but rather it is something beautiful in the eyes of God. For before God, we are not defined by our worth as producer or consumer or whatever the world sees us as, but as a project that fits together and has given shelter across the years. If our life is grounded in Jesus, then it has shape and purpose. Paul says that a life grounded in Jesus is like God's temple, for God's Spirit is in those who put their trust in Jesus. A life that is built on Christ brings God's presence and goodness into the world, is a light in the darkness, an oasis in the desert or a shelter in the storm. For a temple is the place of interaction between God and the world. And so each individual that is grounded in Jesus and draws close to God is a place where God interacts with the world, so to say. In the Bible, that is also expressed at times by saying that we are God's witnesses. Of course, not only we individually, but also we as the church. In practice, that means that we need to reorientate our lives towards Jesus, follow God's word, not the wisdom of the world. Paul reminds his readers again that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Too easily do we determine what's worthwhile by the value systems of our own culture. And when we think how these value systems have changed even in our own time, then we must be aware that they cannot give us stability or direction. Indeed, they may take us away from all that is good and true, from all the deeply meaningful in our lives. The wisdom of this world may take us away from God. It certainly does not give us stability. Just think how much the ideas and concepts that are most ardently followed consist all too often of fads and trends that only several decades later, or even less, are overturned and are thought as old-fashioned. No, the wisdom of this world is not the solid rock on which to build our lives. If we build our lives on Christ, we place our trust in him. We find our true value in Jesus. We direct our lives towards Jesus. We seek Jesus in prayer and worship. And then God will be with us in the storms of life, comfort us in the changes and chances of this life. And then we can have hope also at times when our situation seems hopeless. For then our lives are grounded in the one who gives us hope for eternity.